Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, and I am co-hosting the program with him and serve there at the college and also as the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church. Doc, you have been really enlightening us here in the last broadcast on what it means to labor to be accepted. So many times we spend our Christian life struggling and with a lack of confidence before the Lord. Or on the other hand, we live as though what we do here doesn't matter. And you're helping to help lay out a foundation so that we can strike a good balance there. And last time we were together, you had talked about really the motive that Paul laid out for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that motive was really the fear of God, that we would stand before him at the Bema and that we would really be motivated by the appropriate kind of fear. And finally, by the love of God that constrained us. And that led us to consider then the kind of ministry that all of us should have. And before you jump into that, let me just remind our listeners that this program is not designed just for pastors or for even really primarily for pastors. This is for regular everyday people.
Yes.
That are going to spend their life in ministry. What you do every day as a Christian is your ministry unto the Lord. And so maybe you can address that a little bit and help us to see how our ministry in this passage can be laid out.
Well, Paul is addressing all believers here.
Right.
That is, he is speaking to the Corinthian church, but it is an application to all believers. And we see where Paul follows on. The second thing that we see in Paul's life where he labored to be accepted of the Lord was in the ministry that God had given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Hmm.
What is this ministry of reconciliation we see? First, God is the author of it. All things are of God.
Right.
That is there. It's a source. "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, the agent of reconciliation."
Hmm.
It was by Christ. Then we see our responsibility. We are ambassadors. God is the author. Christ is the agent. We are the ambassadors of that. That is, every believer is an ambassador of that message.
And so as our listeners today are all over in their jobs, at their homes, with friends, maybe visiting somebody at the hospital, maybe talking to somebody there on the job site, they really are functioning as an ambassador.
Absolutely. I heard of a guy in a plane recently, a missionary preacher, and he sat next to a guy from a corporation, and the guy was head of a large corporation and had plants several parts of the world.
Wow.
Then he asked his preacher, "What do you do?" He said, we have operations worldwide. He said, "Who do you work for?" He said, "I work for God, and I'm one of his ambassadors. And we have operations all over the world."
That's right.
And you know what? The blessing is every single believer has that same calling.
Pretty exciting, isn't it?
We made the analogy of standing on the goal, say, one time in our life, would that be a blessing? We have that chance as believers.
Maybe as some of our listeners are driving to work this morning or driving home from work this afternoon, and they think, well, you know, I'm just a lowly line. No, you're an ambassador.
Ambassador.
You're an ambassador. We ought to, like, put little business cards.
Yeah.
And people ask, I'm an ambassador.
Like one of the missionaries gotten a request because of his knowledge of a certain field, requested to become an ambassador of the United States to that field. And he said, "No, since I became an ambassador for Christ, I have been deaf to all other requests."
Wow.
We cannot lose sight of the fact that every one of us as believers have that ambassadorship and to present that finished work of Christ. I mean, we have the opportunity to go with the gift of eternal life.
So what are we as ambassadors? Let's take, for example, somebody who works at one of the plants here in Milwaukee or maybe in one of the other towns where this broadcast is aired. What are they actually trying to get? I mean, this ministry of reconciliation that they have, help me to understand the elements of that. What are they trying to actually help people to see and to be reconciled to God? What's involved with that?
Well, first of all, is the realization of Christ became the propitiation for our sin. That was the work that was done at the altar. in one of our former broadcasts, we dealt with the fact of propitiation. Christ took the hit for our sin to satisfy the wrath of the Father.
So one of the things I'm doing as an ambassador is bringing people to the altar and saying, this is where your sin debt got paid.
Right. But before that, they have to realize that they had a sin debt.
Sure.
That's step number one. We were born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have to sin to become a sinner. They're born in sin.
Right.
They sin because they are sinners.
Right.
And vice versa. I mean, we were born with that within us. And then we look at the fact of redemption. We were bought from the marketplace of sin.
So we shift images here a little bit.
Yeah, we shift image, and that is the word of redemption. And then we see the word justification. That puts us in the courtroom where the judge declares not guilty. And justification is not just as if I'd never sinned. It is, I have sinned, and I have been made perfect through Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not just as if I'd never sinned. The consequence is as if I'd never sinned, but the fact I sinned, and Christ paid the penalty for my sin. And then
it's a legal declaration.
Legal declaration.
That changes my status.
Yeah, and I'm not guilty.
Even though I did do it.
Yes.
But the judge is saying, I'm not going to hold you accountable for this because somebody else paid the penalty.
That was Christ. Hmm. Then the blessing we have now, the ministry of reconciliation, which is the adoption into the family, where we now are reconciled to God. We are now a member of His family. And that is the joy we have. I think every believer should have on his person gospel tracts.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to use the bridge tract because
it illustrates
that man is separated from God at birth. Man tries his efforts to heal that opening and to try to bridge that gap. But yet it's not bridgeable by works. It's not bridgeable by religion. It's not bridgeable by my activities and my baptism and everything else. That is bridgeable only by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And when you come to the point, you realize that by sin, by one man, sin entered into the world. Therefore, by one man also came redemption, and that is by the person of Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's an established thing. What will that sin do for me? That sin will put me in eternal separation from God. And that eternal separation from God is the second death, because death is never cessation of being. Death is only separation.
Right, from God.
So when I die physically, I am separated from loved ones, but I haven't ceased to be.
Right.
The second death is that separation from God that will take place at the great white throne. And we have the message to go with the gift.
Unbelievable.
That eternal life has been given to you. The wages of sin is death.
So the ministry,
but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
The ministry that you're talking about here, you know, because we typically think of the ministry as, okay, going to the mission field or being a pastor. But really, this is a ministry that every single believer has. He has good news. He has a message. And he's an ambassador with that message to everybody. You and I have joked around about this, but some years ago, I had to stand before a judge because of a pesky little thing that happened that will remain nameless here. Get to the airport on time tax and that sort of thing. And I heard the judge say, guilty. And I remember, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible feeling. And then there's a penalty that comes with that. And there wasn't anybody there to take the hit. I tried to get Beth, my wife, to go, and she wouldn't go, so I had to go. But, you know, really, that's a kind of a dumb illustration, but that really is an illustration of, in a very small way, of what Jesus did. Jesus said, move over, I'll take the hit. And the judge comes and says, you're innocent. You're not guilty. You were guilty, but I'm declaring this because somebody else took your penalty. Why would people not want to do this ministry? I mean,
I think fear, lack of assurance, I think one of Satan's favorite tools for those some who are genuinely saved is lack of assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, why would I go and tell somebody about something I'm not sure that I have? And I believe one of the causes, one of the great causes of lack of assurance is lack of holiness. And I think that 2 Peter passage in chapter 1 clarifies that, because the end result of that, you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Him, and you will never wonder regarding your salvation. And when these things are lacking, there is always a doubt about salvation. So a person who says, I'm not sure, I think is an indication I'm not growing.
Right.
If a person knows Christ the Savior and he is not an ambassador, it's an indication he is not growing. And whatever is hindering that growth needs to be addressed.
What kind of mindset do you think an ambassador should have?
Well, I think it was indicating in Paul's mindset, he had a Christ-centered mindset, not a self-centered mindset. We see that in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Well, you underscore that and apply that to our generation today. We have more toys. We have more things. We have more time. We're gone to four-day work weeks. We are gone to all these things. And we see the consequences.
We are very, very self-centered people.
Very self-centered. And Paul says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. He says in verse 5 of chapter 4, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So he had a mentality of servitude, not a mentality that was centered in him. And then he had an inward, not an outward, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He had an outward realization that this thing was going down, but his inward man was renewed every day.
In our next broadcast, I want you to take time to walk through some very specific examples of that, because I know you've talked to me about some of those, and I think it'd be a blessing to our listeners.
And then it was eternal, not temporal. In verse 18 of chapter 4, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that perspective is an eternal perspective. We have to learn to live like we are just passing through. You remember this little chorus we used to sing, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
But for most of us, our treasures are right here.
Yes, and we say, well, you can't take it with you, but you can't send it ahead. I think by a proper choosing, that can't be sent ahead.
So our motive and then our ministry is to be an ambassador with this great message.
Yes.
And then the mindset that will be demanded of us if we're going to do that effectively. Doc, this has been good. We look forward to the next broadcast where we'll talk a little more about the mindset of this kind of a ministry. To those of you listening to the broadcast, we're incredibly thankful that you allow us to come into your life and minister the word in this way. We are looking forward to hearing from you. We've been hearing from many of you already. Please write us or call us or email us at the address that will be given here at the end of the broadcast. And make sure that you check our new website out at Brookside Baptist Church, www.brooksidebaptist.org, or at Northern Baptist Bible College, www.nbbc.edu. And we look forward to hearing from you. We do depend on your gifts and your generosity as people of God to keep us on the air. Please pray and seek the Lord's face about how you can be a part of this broadcast and this ministry. For those of you that send a donation of $10 or more into the broadcast, we will be more than happy to give you a copy of the autobiography of Dr. Les Olaloff, entitled A Man Among Them.